Good day, everyone. My name is Scott Hayde. That's spelled H, E like Edward, D like David. And I'm the director of the Sportsman's Alliance for Alaska. Thank you for joining us for the announcement of some very exciting news. Today, the hunting and angling community is speaking with a unified voice, calling on the Obama administration to protect one of the planet's truly premier sporting destinations, Southwest Alaska's famed Bristol Bay region. We will have four tremendous speakers today, representing national fishing and hunting conservation organizations, the sporting products industry, and Alaska business owners. Each will make a brief statement, then we will take your questions. But before we get to the speakers, I'd like to give you a web address where you'll find all sorts of helpful information and where visitors can also take action themselves. It's nice and easy to remember, www.savebristolbay.org. We'll get things going with our first speaker. You'll now hear from Brian Kraft, who owns and operates two fishing and hunting lodges in Bristol Bay. Take it away, Brian.
Thanks, Scott. Good morning. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. My name is Brian Kraft. It's spelled K-R-A-F-T. I've been operating in the Bristol Bay area since 1992 as a guide and lodge operator. I'm a pilot. I fly the area extensively every day throughout the summer. I'm intimately knowledgeable about all the streams and waters of this particular area. This region is only accessible by air. It's very remote, very rugged, yet it supports a $60 million a year sport fishing industry with a annual visitors of about 65,000 people coming to the region. This area is tremendous. It has been described as the United States Serengeti by people that live there. It is also in a pristine and natural state that has been undisturbed. The natural state that has allowed fisheries to thrive for thousands of years support all of the living organisms in the region, including people. There's a tremendous amount of subsistence lifestyle, commercial fishery, and then a thriving sport fishing industry. I've been involved in this issue of proposed mining and large-scale development in the region since 2004. I originally was, as a businessman, pro-development, pro-business, have a history of working on the North Slope as an oil field roughneck, and thought that this extraction type of industry would be very similar to oil extraction. And therefore, I thought we could do it right and produce some jobs. It wasn't until I had an actual mining engineer at the lodge that he said, look, Brian, this industry is invasive. It is consumptive by its very nature. We try and get it right, but we make a lot of mistakes. And when you look at recent studies that show that 75% of all water quality predictions associated with large-scale open-pit mining are wrong, it seems to me that we as a society must step back and realize that there are certain places that need to be protected, and that it's just not right to go in and do them. And the Bristol Bay area is one of them. Today, over 360 different sport fishing and hunting organizations are asking the Obama administration and the EPA to do the right thing and not make this a political issue. This area needs special protection, is a special area that should be permanently protected. And with that, I'll turn it over to Chris Wood, who's the CEO of Trout Unlimited.
Thanks, Brian. As Brian mentioned, my name is Chris Wood, W-O-O-D, and I'm the president and CEO of Trout Unlimited. Trout Unlimited is proud to be a leader of this extraordinarily diverse coalition of sportsmen and women. As Brian mentioned, Bristol Bay is a world-class fishery. More than $425 million in economic impact and 12,000 jobs are sustained every year by the commercial, recreational, and subsistence fishery. As an organization, TU is leading efforts to recover rivers such as the Klamath in California and Oregon and the Penobscot in Maine, rivers that once supported vibrant salmon fisheries that are now basically on life support. As a nation, we're spending billions of dollars a year to bring back salmon from the effects of development. In Bristol Bay, all we need to do is to protect what is already working. The real gold mine here is the salmon fishery itself. And that's why EPA's announcement on February 7 is so important. EPA has committed to assess how large-scale industrial mining, such as would occur under the Pebble Mine proposal, would affect water quality and the health of the fishery. This is the kind of public, science-driven process that Trout Unlimited supports. As Scott and Brian both mentioned, 360 hunting and angling organizations have asked EPA to use its authority under the Clean Water Act to protect Bristol Bay. Under Section 404C of the Clean Water Act, EPA can withdraw the most important wetlands and streams from ever being used as a waste dump for industrial-scale mining. EPA and the Obama administration have an opportunity to guarantee a future for Bristol Bay that will protect this extraordinary fishery, the thousands of jobs it supports, and the $425 million in revenues it generates every year. Next week, many of these organizations who signed this letter are going to travel to Washington, D.C. to ask members of Congress and other federal agencies for their support. Hunters and anglers will not sit this one out. Our expectation is that the Obama administration will make protecting Bristol Bay its highest conservation priority. And now I'd like to introduce Dr. Richard Allen, who is the past president of the Dallas Safari Club.
Thank you very much. My name is Richard Allen, A-L-L-E-N. I live in Kerrville, Texas, and I am a past president of both Dallas Safari Club and Dallas Ecological Foundation. And many of you might wonder why a Texan is speaking about an Alaskan problem or project. It is not just an Alaskan one. It is very much a national one. The people of the United States have a unique wilderness area that is pristine and has not been damaged in any manner. It is as the Lord made it, and this is what we need to keep. The Dallas Safari Club and the Dallas Ecological Foundation in the past several years have spent tens of thousands of dollars on projects in the southwest Alaska in the Bristol Bay area for conservation and for habitat control, and we continue to do so. We believe in this very, very much. I like to think that I am the one of this group who represents that 65,000 people who come to Bristol Bay yearly. I myself have been to Bristol Bay area over a dozen times. I have floated many of the rivers to fish, and those of you who have never witnessed the salmon migration and the salmon spawn, it is a truly phenomenal thing. It's hard to describe, but it is pristine and it's still there, and we don't have to restore anything. All we have to do is to maintain what we have. The Dallas Safari Club and its over 4,000 members are sportsmen who travel worldwide looking for just such a place as the Bristol Bay area, wild place. We all love the wild places. We love to crest the next ridge and look at the valley below, and I don't know of any of us who want to see that valley ripped and torn and gouged by the mining industry, nor do we want to see that stream that flows out of that valley polluted and littered with dead fish from toxic waste. So I like to think that my representation is of all the hunters and fishermen in the lower 48 states who love to go to Bristol Bay. And I thank the Obama administration and the EPA for considering this as a national treasure. And let's hope that they keep it pristine. Now I'd like to introduce Jim Klug, who is the chairman of the American Fly Fishing Trade Association. Jim?
Thank you very much. And let me begin by thanking everyone once again for joining us today. My name is Jim Klug, which is K-L-U-G. I am the chairman of the American Fly Fishing Trade Association and the owner of an international destination angling travel company called Yellow Dog Fly Fishing Adventures. Bristol Bay is an amazing place for hunters, anglers, commercial fishermen, businessmen, for those who call the region home, and for all who visit this area each year. What's also amazing is the vast amount of unanimous support that there is in asking the EPA to protect Bristol Bay, something that you've heard from the others who have just spoken before me. As the chairman of the American Fly Fishing Trade Association and the owner of a fly fishing business myself, I can tell you that the Pebble Mine issue is today the single biggest conservation issue for the entire United States fly fishing industry. To date, more than 150 fly fishing-related product companies, manufacturers, travel entities, and other businesses have directly signed on as being in favor of protecting Bristol Bay's ecological and economic resources. Hundreds more have voiced their support. It is important to note that the hunting product industry has also shown its support. From fly rod makers to firearms manufacturers, this is an issue that has the support of the outdoor sporting products industry. Simply put, the reason for this outpouring of support from the fishing and the hunting business communities is that there is no place on earth that can rival Bristol Bay as a sport fishing and hunting destination. Now, I know that Brian, Chris, Dr. Allen, and Scott have all talked about what makes this particular area so special, but I want to take a moment to add a few more important statistics. First off, the area that would be impacted by the Pebble Mine project is a 40,000 square mile wetland that's roughly the size of Kentucky. With nine major world-class rivers, this is the home to the world's largest sockeye salmon run and one of North America's largest king salmon populations. It is also home to what many recreational sport fishermen believe is the greatest trophy rainbow trout fishing in the world. The fact that people travel to this area from all over the planet to catch these rainbows is a testament to just how good it is. And although Bristol Bay supports a $450 million industry in both sport and commercial fishing alone, the fact that the area is home to so much remote wilderness, fishing and hunting helps attract sportsmen and women from all around the world. Now, I want to tell you some more about the proposed Pebble Mine project itself. First of all, Pebble would create an open pit mine up to 2 miles wide and 1,700 feet deep. On top of that, they would also have to dig an underground mine on a similar scale. Pebble Mine could dump up to 10 billion tons of perpetually toxic mine waste in the heart of the Bristol Bay watershed. This is an area that is known for frequent earthquakes, which puts the watershed at very real risk for a toxic leak. Storing toxic mine waste behind earthen dams in a very active seismic region forever is not a risk that we are willing to accept. Americans need to know that Pebble Mine would be operated by and would profit two multinational companies, both of which have a poor environmental record. Pebble Mine could potentially destroy salmon runs, other fish species that call this region home, pristine habitat, and the area's wildlife. Understand that this is a very real threat. From an economic standpoint, Pebble Mine could directly eliminate thousands of sport fishing and commercial fishing jobs and could indirectly and negatively impact the entire sport fishing and hunting industries throughout the country. For all of these reasons, we thank the EPA for taking the first step in the review process, but want to go on record to strongly urge the EPA to go the distance and invoke Section 404C of the Clean Water Act. Only by doing so can Bristol Bay be fully protected from the dangers of irresponsible large-scale development. This is a true litmus test for the Obama administration, and we collectively ask the President, are you going to do everything in your power to listen to U.S. hunters and anglers, and will you protect Bristol Bay from the very real dangers of Pebble Mine? In conclusion, I would say that if people are not outraged at the prospect of a project like this in such an environmentally and economically important area, then simply put, they have not been paying attention. In the context of monumentally bad ideas, Pebble Mine is at the very top of the list. I want to finish by thanking everybody for their time. I'll turn things back over to Scott, but I think that I speak for everyone on the panel in saying that we'll be happy to take any questions that you have.
Thanks, Jim, and each of you other guys. All right, let's start queuing up some questions if the reporters on the call have got some.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. You may withdraw yourself at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that's star and one on your touch-tone telephone. We will take a moment for let any questions enter the queue. And just a reminder, that's star and one to ask a question. And we will take our first question from Daisha Eaton with KDLG Public Radio. Please go ahead.
Hello there. Could you address Senator Murkowski's letter concerning preemptive use of 404C veto authority?
Yeah,
go ahead.
This is Shoren Brown from Trout Unlimited. I'm the Bristol Bay campaign director. I can take a shot at that. We are we're confident that Senator Murkowski will come around and support this process. She announced her support for a public and science-based process right on the heels of the EPA announcement. I think she's paying close attention to the Bristol Bay Native Corporation, the hunters and anglers from across the United States, and the commercial fishermen who are, stand united in this important work to have EPA invoke Section 404C of the Clean Water Act. We're hopeful she's going to listen to local government, local people, and this incredible outcry from across the country and do the right thing.
And this is Chris Wood. Just to add to that, I think Senator Murkowski has been very consistent from the beginning that she's supportive of allowing science and the public process to play out, and that's precisely what EPA is doing here. And as Shoren mentioned, we're optimistic that she'll engage in that process and hopefully be supportive of it.
And just a reminder, to ask a question, it's star and one on your touch-tone telephone. And it appears we have no further questions at this time.
Well, if there are no further questions, again, this is Scott Haid, Director of the Sportsman's Alliance for Alaska. I want to thank all of our speakers today, as well as all of the participants who listened to this press conference. And again, www.savebristolbay.org. Later this afternoon, you should see a press release going out, and it'll also be on that site, along with the letter going to the EPA from 360-plus hunting and fishing interests. So thank you very much, everyone, once again. Have a great day.
And I do apologize, Mr. Haid, but looks like we do have another question, if we're able to take it.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, do apologize, but it comes from Maria Hegstead with Inside EPA. Please go ahead.
Yes, sorry to jump in there at the end. I was just curious. I lost it in my notes now, but someone had mentioned, you know, support for EPA's review process, this ecological risk assessment they're going to perform of the bay, but they were also encouraging EPA to go the step further and make the 404C ruling. Is that something you think the agency can do before performing this assessment, or what's the proper procedure that you're asking for?
This is Chris Wood again. I think I can speak pretty clearly for everyone on the call. We absolutely want this area with, we want EPA to use 404C authority to ensure that the area is not used as a toxic mine dump. But I think all of us are also equally of having an open and science-based process informing that decision. All of us have looked, all of our organizations have looked very carefully at science here, and we are unanimous in believing that there is no logical way that someone could develop a mining operation of the scale that's been proposed while still protecting these very sensitive wetlands and headwater streams. So I think that's essentially what our position is.
Gotcha, thanks.
It appears we have no further questions.
If not, then I will just conclude by saying thanks again, everyone.
And this concludes your teleconference for today. We thank you for joining, and please have a great day, and you may now disconnect.